Hello there, again, everybody, and welcome back for another episode of Pod Pals. This week, we will be reviewing Season 2, Episode 21, Three Men and a Comic Book. It's the one that no doubt you'll have seen on Channel 4 about 200 times. But this week, we're going to listen to it, or we're going to talk about it, with the help of my trusty friend, Dan. Now, before you say anything, Dan, I'm going to trust you not to mention XL Bullies this week. Can you do that for us?
I'll just have to have a word with my agent. Bear with us one second.
That's called Mr. Will. Oh, it's really cool. Help me.
He said that's not possible. I'm going to have to stop doing the podcast.
You know, you sounded like there. You know, where Bart steals the game from the Try and Save. Uh-huh. And then he has that dream about going to juvenile hall, and the Santa's like, "Merry Christmas, happy New Year." That's what you sounded like.
No, I'm okay. In a bid to fall into line with this week's episode, I have tried to poison myself with radiation, and far from getting any superpowers whatsoever, both my legs have dropped off, and I can speak fluent Spanish.
Why would that ever be a side effect of radiation?
Ah, good thing, am I, sir?
They're all there at fucking Tower 4 in Chernobyl. Come on, senor!
Fucking organising some bullfighting. I mean, that was just a Spanish, what a Spanish stereotype.
I know, yeah, eating some tapas and all, I bet.
Yeah, go throw some tomatoes in white clothes, yeah.
And being all round damn rude is what I would find damn in Spanish. No, but what are your thoughts on this week's episode, Dan? Like I said, it's probably said it quite a lot, because it was on Channel 4 a lot. I think we mentioned that last week. What are your thoughts on this one going in?
Yeah, consummate classic, isn't it? This is... You can't really mention season two without mentioning this one. It's just a very atypical golden era episode.
Yeah, it's very, I think you said at the end of last week, I think it's a kid friendly one, which is why it was always on like Channel 4 on like a Sunday morning. Very much got a moral about sharing, I think. But we'll get into all of that. Before we do, would you like a Simpsons question?
Yes, please.
Right, well, I'll be honest, the last couple of weeks I'm like really like clutching at straws with questions.
They're starting to dry up a little bit, aren't they?
I'm like really, really gonna lie, in a couple of weeks I might have to stop these altogether, to be honest.
Dan, what cream would you put on your bum if it was sore?
Just asking for a friend.
Because they've run out with a soda cream at the shop, that's all, so can't be that one.
So I'll be honest, I haven't actually came up with a question this week. What I've done was, because I couldn't think of one when I was watching the episode, I've just wrote question on my notes and then hoped that one would come to us during the episode, and it didn't. But very much on the spot, because this is a episode about a comic book superhero, what superpower would you love to have? See, it's got fuck all to do with The Simpsons, but what superpower would you love to have?
Good question. I think everybody automatically goes, oh, well, I could fly, I could walk through walls, but I always forget superheroes. Do you remember Bernard's watch?
I was like, well, because mine would be stopping time, and then I was about to say fucking like Bernard and his watch.
Yeah, exactly. Honestly, that would be like, imagine the mischief.
Do you know what it is, right? I used to always think like, well, that watch is fucking wasted on Bernard, because he had all this power, and all he would do is like rearrange his dad's flower pots, and you'd be like, yeah, oh, big man, Bernard.
He'd have an extra scoop of ice cream from his nana's fridge.
But to be fair, though, I don't know whether it's just because I'm getting on a bit now, but like, if someone gave me that watch now, I think I would just use it to have like an extra 10 minutes in bed on a morning. I think that's totally what I would do.
Totally agree. I would pause time, sleep it off, or if, say, me boss was having a pop at me for one thing or another, I'd pause time and like put my finger in a dog shit bin and wipe it on the top lip. So when I unfroze time, they'd be like, what the hell's that? Ah, yes, so pictures of Spider-Man.
I was going to say Liza fucking Jonah Jameson. How have you working at the Daily Bugle?
But no, I think freezing time would be my superpower. What about you? With the same?
Yeah, well, no, mine would literally be the same. Yeah, but one paradox that I think The Simpsons mentioned. I think there's a Halloween episode where Bart gets something that can stop time.
Yes, there is. It's a watch. Funny enough, him and Milhouse.
Is it Bart's watch? But he stops time, and doesn't he break the watch or something?
Yeah, he does. Yeah, but
that,
he's like,
that would be my worry. Or like if I accidentally knocked it while I'd like frozen time. Like imagine just you accidentally knock the watch just as you're about to like smear your boss's lip with shit. Just imagine.
Like unfreezing time, and your top lip, your fingers on your boss's top lip, they'd be like, "What the hell are you doing?" Like, I don't know. It's not my poo. It's dump poo.
it's not my poo.
That doesn't make it better, Dan.
But no, that was quite considering that was on the spot there. That was quite an intriguing question this week. I found.
I like that.
Are you going to keep things rolling with some fun facts?
Oh, yeah. There's only three this week. The fun facts are starting to dry up as well. Now, I don't know if that's because...
Let's just call it a night after this episode. Eh? Let's just...
This will be the final episode, listeners.
I have to go now. And the dad died on the way back to my home planet.
Okay. So this is the first appearance of the Android's dungeon.
Oh, I was at the shop. You said that last week, didn't you?
No.
Did you not? Where am I?
I might have said it.
I'll tell you why I sent you that link for that Simpsons quiz.
Oh, that's that'd be right. Yeah. That'd be right.
How many did you get on that, by the way?
I think I'd done 13. I got them all right. Then I got 14 wrong, so I put it on. Off in a huff.
You just in a huff.
Yeah, I did. So not only is it the first appearance of the Android's dungeon, it is also the first appearance of Comic Book Guy, Mrs. Glick, Radioactive Man, Fallout Boy, and Batman.
You know, full of first-time appearances, this one.
So, going on from that, Comic Book Guy's character, it's based off, quote, every comic book guy in America, end quote, according to Matt Groening. Though in reality, he's based off a man who owned Groening's local comic book shop. But I think Comic Book Guy, first of all, he's an absolute arsehole to Bane. So, like, it was his primary demographic for his business. So, he's a dickhead to them. But also, I think it does strike me as a little bit of arrogance amongst sort of the comic book superhero-y community. And it comes in the form of, do you know when you might listen to like one Coldplay song and then people have listened to Coldplay for 20 years go, oh, you only like that one song. You like the music snobbery. I find you get the same thing with comic book snobbery and stuff. Like if I went out and bought one DC comic, like I'd end up like radished in the town square because I haven't been buying them for 30 years.
Yeah. No, I know what you mean. There's an arrogance. I think with a lot of like, not underground, because like it's quite mainstream, isn't it, comics and things like that, but I always think the same, like you think, like me and you were both like dead into wrestling when we were younger, and there's like an element of that, isn't there, like wrestling fans who like think they're better than everyone else. It's like, mate, you watch wrestling, like shut up.
Yeah. yeah like I can't, like I don't watch wrestling anymore. I love the wrestling growing up, but like I would be remiss if I was sort of strutting me stuff and being like a bit of an arsehole about watching wrestling now when I'm 30 year old. Yeah. Like, oh, you don't know the latest developments around CM Punk, and like, really?
Yeah, I do get that. Yeah, he's a massive dick comic book guy. I think he's very much just like they've nailed that character, that stereotype, haven't they?
I totally agree. He's just a big fat slob who's never had a shag in his life and likes comic books.
You know? Hang on. You're seeing all this, right? I still remember one of the very early episodes of Pod Pals where we asked each other what Simpsons character we were most like, and you said that I was like Comic Book Guy. So fuck you, Dan.
Yeah, I mean, that's a fat balding, kind of get a shag. Loves the Beatles. Oh, no, sorry, I'm getting mixed up. Sorry.
No, the Beatles is definitely my thing that I like a lot of other people in it, as you well know.
Yes, I'm well aware of that. Last fun fact, Radioactive Man's origin story is, in effect, the same origin story as the Incredible Hulk.
Oh, yeah, Atomic. Atomic Blast, didn't it? I thought you were going to say, like, the Nagasaki children from the 40s. I was like, oh, this is going to be a bit dark.
Fucking hell, aren't they?
Why would you say that, actually?
Why in what planet have you brought up Nagasaki?
Well, we'll just tick that one off the fucking Pod Pals bingo. I have
a big feeling we're going to hear the alarm go off in a... Moving swiftly away from atomic bombs, I'm happy to move on to the plot if you are.
Yes, so am I. I mean, the England match kicks off in like an hour, so let's get this over.
Mm-hmm. We're not playing Japan, are we?
Fucking hope not.
Come on, let's go.
Right, here we go. So this episode aired on the 9th of May 1991. It was written by Jeff Martin and directed by Wes Archer. The episode begins as Marge is taking Bart and Lisa to a comic book convention. A joke which I found proper dark at the start of this episode is the one where they point out how much Casper and Richie Rich look alike. And then Lisa surmises that maybe Casper is Richie Rich after he's killed himself, which I thought was a bit like dark.
Well, in this instance. Yeah, I don't know, but I thought that was typical Lisa trying to be all poetic and brooding. Oh, Lisa, just shut. No, the two separate things completely. Yeah, I know that. Like, you know that.
We
Casper's
said it at the start of this episode. Go on, son. You go.
No, I don't want to. Okay, I don't want anymore. I don't.
Fuck off.
Should we podcast with your fucking ass, doesn't it? Why on earth would you mention children killing themselves?
Yeah, I mean, God, that sort of joke just not appropriate or suitable for any TV show or podcast, is it?
Not at all. I'm surprised The Simpsons didn't have episodes 1 to 29 removed after that, to be honest.
But yeah, while waiting in line and bemoaning the fact that they hadn't done the same as everybody else and came dressed as popular cartoon characters, I like what they did there, little wink to themselves. Lol, because they're popular cartoon characters, you see. Hey! Bart suddenly transforms into Bartman. And you mentioned this was the first appearance of Bartman, but like, here's the thing. I feel like, especially in these early seasons, like the Bartman persona is very much a big part of Bart's character. But like, I'm pretty sure this is the only episode we ever actually see him in, you know?
Yeah, you might be right. I think the closest you can, I mean, it's not even Bartman, but I'm thinking of when you see the graffiti of El Barto on public buildings in Springfield. Yeah. Like, but what's El Barto in comparison to Bartman? Same thing,
sure,
different.
El Barto is just Bartman. Like, I don't know what he's done there.
El Barto sounds like a Cuban drug dealer.
yeah. He'd be like the main antagonist on like season 6 of Breaking Bad.
Yeah, exactly. And you owe him a lot of money and he's got like a massive dog chain tied around your neck and he's taking your arms off with a chainsaw.
He's got to get massive XL bully.
You know, I nearly mentioned that you're going to be ravaged off his XL bully, but I didn't. I've done a lot of growing up this week, man.
Well done. I'm bloody proud of your son. Well done.
Yeah, my solicitor advised it.
We get a speech from Diamond Joe Quimby welcoming the crowd to the convention. But I must say, this is one thing, like, I think we are very, very nerdy in some of the things that we do like, Dan, but comic books for me, I don't know about you, it's one thing I've never been into.
No, not one little bit. The one time I've read a comic book was when The Walking Dead first became a big hit and somebody said to me, oh, read the comic books, it's better than the series. So I tried one comic book, found that person was obviously brain damaged and never picked up another one.
Yeah, I just think they're a bit shit. Like, you can read them in about 10 minutes and I just think, well, what a waste of money.
Yeah, yeah.
But I think a big part of my hatred of comic books just comes from, like, I feel like I would only get them, like, when I was ill as a kid, if I was, like, off school or something as a kid. Like, my family would always just bring us comic books. And I'd
see,
be like,
I tell you, when I used to get them before I went on the plane at the airport.
yeah, they always, oh, that'll keep you going. Ah, that'll be good.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. It's a parent's bid to keep the child, like, chilled out whilst...
Yeah,
whilst they're trying to like drink themselves into a stupor on the plane.
Read your comic and let daddy have his medicine.
Dad, the lady says you have to be quiet. Oh, turn around, what to be quiet about?
I want me all of this.
They're trying to choke out with his bum bag.
But yeah, I always used to get them when I was ill. So I think in my mind, I've associated just comic books with being ill. So I think that's probably what's put us off them. But I tell you what, although we're not into comic books, we are no strangers to conventions, are we, Dan?
No, we are not, Anthony.
Do you remember that time?
Yes, I wanted to ask you about this. If so, listeners, me and Anthony went to a wrestling convention a couple of years ago where we met GR, the old wrestling coach, Earl Hebner, the infamous referee in the Montreal Screwjob. If you don't know wrestling, this will mean nothing to you. However, there were like relatively sized American television personalities and me and Anthony met them at the convention. Do you want to go to another one, Anthony, if it comes back round?
I mean, I will, but let's just be honest with ourselves this year and not try and kid ourselves like that we're there ironically this time. Because last time, if you remember, we spent the first hour and a half like convincing ourselves that we weren't like everybody else there and that we were there ironically and that we were somehow cooler than everybody else. But we weren't.
Like, see, the wrestlers here we make it look, man, look, I'm not like these people.
I'm normal.
You don't have to put on the act for me. Look, I'm your pal. I'm your mate. You don't buy this snap bag of cocaine. Come on.
Yeah, actually, you probably won't be allowed back after that, really.
No. Well, he was the one that decided to take it for free, so I had no choice but to stab him. Saw his arms off with a chainsaw and strangle him with a bum bag.
He won't be wrestling no more, will he?
big old flesh egg won't do anything anymore.
The only thing he can do, ironically, is snort cocaine now. So.
Which I have found a new customer now. So it's everybody wins.
After a Q&A with Buddy Hodges, the original Fallout Boy from the Radioactive Man TV show, we are first introduced to Comic Book Guy, as you said, Dan. And he sounds very much like Dredrick Tatum, I found in this one. He's got a bit of a lisp and a bit of a strange kind of thing where he can't pronounce his odds.
I didn't notice it, actually. I tell you what, it did get me thinking, though, and it took me ages to remember. I did eventually, but what was Comic Book Guy's real name?
Oh, it's like it's not Jasper.
Close.
It's close, isn't it? Because when he goes out with Principal Skinner's mom.
Yes, that's when it's first revealed,
What's his name?
So, his first name and his surname is basically like a bloke's name, but his second name ends in son. I don't know if that helps.
Albertson.
Yes.
Yeah, what's his first name, though?
Jeff.
Jeff. Aye, that is a comic book nerd name, that, isn't it?
Jeff. Good old Jeff. Loves comic books, good old Jeff. loves getting the kids in the shop. Good old Jeff.
I feel like if this is in the UK, he'd work at like CEX now.
Yeah. Oh yeah, two massive flesh plugs in one ear. like one huge flesh plug in the lobe, and then one in a place where he should really have it to the top of his ear. That one looks infected.
I tell you what, I've just realised when I've said that, like,
what?
I could wager a lot of our listeners probably work at CEX, to be honest.
Look,
it looks like that's our demographic.
Look, our listeners work in CEX and they think sex should involve knives. Doesn't make them bad people.
I didn't know Britney Spears worked at CEX.
Sexy. That's not even Britney, is it?
I'm sure that's like fucking Atomic Kitten or something.
Nelly Furtado, I don't know.
I don't know. Let's not get into that.
I don't listen to music on top of it. What chance have I got?
Comic Book Guy shows Bart the first ever Radioactive Man comic and offers to sell it to him for $100. It's a little out of Bart's price range, so he is advised by Marge to get a job in order to pay for the comic book. I love the little flashback of Marge when she's like saving up for a little light bulb.
Brilliant, wasn't it?
Bless her. So, I love that young Marge.
Well, me and the missus were watching this episode and she said, oh, my mum had one of those ovens. I didn't really think they were a thing, a light bulb oven where you can genuinely bake little cakes and stuff. I didn't know they existed.
Very much a 60s thing, I think.
But how the hell can a light bulb bake something?
Oh, they won't have been, that's the thing, like they won't have been prepared well, Dan. There'll have been a lot of like salmonella poisoning and stuff, like I imagine on the back of those ovens.
Yeah, but in the 60s, like kids for the breakfast were having like waffles with tab ends in them.
Better time, if you ask me.
Yeah, the doctor told you that was, go on, smoke while you're pregnant, doesn't matter, it's good for you.
I did like in this little flashback as well, I think we've mentioned in like other episodes, like we've asked how much older are Paddy and Selma than Marge.
Yeah, yeah. So
just how old they sound, but I like how it's revealed in this little flashback that it's just due to the obscene amount of tabs they smoked in that one summer.
Mind, the singing voice is horrific, isn't it?
Makes me sick. Makes me
Venus.
Well, it's like on the other one we watched a couple of weeks ago, the one Principal Charming, where she's singing to Lisa and my life, my lover, my lady is the sea.
That's vile, isn't it? It's
sounds like the Undertaker. It's awful.
I did like the flashback. And obviously I know we're gonna come on to it now, but I also love Mrs. Glick.
Yes.
Such a good character.
Yes. This version of Mrs. Glick is my favourite. I know that like in later episodes is the one where George Bush moves in and she's like quite a surly old lady.
Yeah, and the fruit bowl's $90.
Yeah. Whereas in this one, I just love how fucking delirious she is. Like, and that story about how our brother died as well, how he held onto a grenade too long, that really tickled us as well.
Yeah. I also like when she was watching our stories when she's getting filthy, but genuinely arousing. you will tell.
But yes, I do love how just delirious she is in this episode. Like even the bit where she's fucking applying the iodine and stuff, where Bart's all like cut ribbons after his day's work. And like, did your grandparents ever use iodine on you?
So I had it once off a mate's mum when I grazed my arm. And I remember I knew it was going to hurt because I'd seen this episode of The Simpsons. So I grazed my arm and then his mother came in and was like, all right, okay, put some of this on, son. Fuck me, it hurts.
Oh, I'd say you're lucky because at least you knew what to expect. I hadn't seen this episode when my gran, like, just basically flung it on my arm once because I'd fell in some nettles. Like, I wasn't even cut. That's the thing. I just fell in some nettles. Like, don't get us a duck leaf, will you? Like, put the iodine away.
Okay, son, this next dose of iodine's got to go underneath your eyeball.
But no, if any of our listeners have never had the misfortune of being doused in iodine, it is essentially just acid that they used to put in the cuts.
Basically, like it's a corrosive treatment that boils away the top layer of skin, so there's not like a graze there anymore. It's awful.
It's awful. Very much a thing of the past. But listen, after weeks of hard labor at Mrs. Glick's abode, Bart finally reaches payday, but is massively disappointed when Mrs. Glick only pays him 2 quarters. And I think that's, like I say, what I do love about Mrs. Glick. I'm saying she's delirious, but I just love how out of touch she is. Like, her 2 quarters, bless her, is like a lot of money. Like, it's a fair day's wage.
Yeah, I used to go to my great-grandmother's house, bless her, and she was like, well into our 90s, and I was, what, 6, something like that. And she used to give me 20 pence pocket money a week, and she used to think 20 pence is like, that's a massive amount of money for a young lad. There you go, son, you enjoy yourself. It's like, thanks, gran. But, which is nice, but like, obviously, times change and people don't necessarily change with it, which is a curious, one of life's little curiosities, sorry.
Yeah, like even Mrs. Glick herself, where she gives him the money, and she's like, off you go to spend it on penny whistles and moon pies.
Yeah, well, exactly. I mean, I remember going to the shop actually, and like, do you remember them little fruit salad sweets?
Yeah.
That had like the black and yellow wrapping on them. They were like a penny each.
Yeah. Well, we're going to make ourselves sound really old here, but like genuinely, like 2 quid, 3 quid could have got you a lot when we were kids. Like just going to the shop and stuff.
Oh, totally. I mean, in the end, I just resorted to shoplifting.
Well, I just had an arrangement with me shopkeeper where I used to wank them off.
A 50 pence mix up for that. every week.
I got mixed up, I tell you. Where do we go from that? I mean,
I'll tell you where we go. You just play the alarm and we move on.
Yeah, the alarm makes everything better.
The cleansing alarm.
Like we said, though, just there, about, you know, being a lot of money to Mrs. Glick. Like, I like Homer's line as well, where he's like, hey, when I was your age, 50 cents was a lot of money. Really? Nah.
I think that was like, he had good intentions, like, I'll try and make him feel better. Then upon questioning, he was like, I can't lie to him. Nah, Bart, it wasn't.
wasn't expecting a follow-up question, was he?
You've been absolutely done over there, son.
But Bart finally has a stroke of luck when he visits the comic book store again.
I didn't think you were going to say of luck there. Finally, Bart has a stroke
of the shopkeeper's penis and is given a for his troubles. Yes, but Bart does have a stroke of luck when he visits the comic book store again. Although he only has $35, he convinces Milhouse and Martin Prince to combine their money with his in order to afford the comic book. Finally, the comic book has been purchased, but it creates another dilemma in the sense that the boys are all now co-owners. Unable to decide who gets custody of the comic book, it is decided that the boys all have a sleepover at Bart's treehouse that night. Fueled by paranoia, things get physical when the three boys all wank off the shopkeeper in exchange for 50 pence.
Yeah, like, oh God. We do that, sorry. I just, a phone call just came to the laptop, so I'm sorry.
You better be at work.
Like, as soon as you made a joke about wanking off a shopkeeper, the phone started going. I was like, oh no, we've been rumbled.
It'll be fucking Podbeam. Can you not hear this alarm or what? We've been trying to get in touch.
Can you please just call back the XL bullies?
But no, things do get physical, but it's because the boys all start to accuse each there wanting to steal the comic book for themselves.
I want to read it again.
Nice try, mister.
Milhouse, the acids in your hand could damage the newsprint. We want to keep this comic forever, so the last one alive will have the honor of being buried with it.
What do you mean, the last one alive?
I meant years from now.
Yeah, sure you did.
Bart, don't push him!
I knew it. You're both against me. Well, nobody makes a sap out of Bartholomew J. Simpson.
Quit it!
You quit it! No, you quit it.
I thought you boys might like some milk and microwave some more.
Thank you, Mrs. Simpson.
Thanks, Mom.
Sweet dreams, boys.
One more step and you're a dead man.
I have to go to the bathroom, Bart.
Yeah, right, so do I, but you don't see me getting up.
Hey, what's going on?
Our dear friend Martin was trying to steal a comic book.
Let's tie him up! Bart, is this how you treat all your guests?
Quiet, Piggy, we'll stick an apple in your mouth. We can't take any chances. We'll have to take turns watching him.
Okay, I'll go first.
Ah, so that's your little game. Let old Bart get nice and drowsy. Then when his back is turned, wham! Well, it is not gonna happen, see?
You're going crazy, Bart. I'm telling your mom.
Hey, Martin, tell him what we do with squealers.
I don't know. Is it worse than what you do with people that have to go to the bathroom? You can't stop me.
The hell I can't.
There's an excellent gag, though, in that bit that we've just heard, where Marge, I think it's the iconic bit that everyone remembers, where Marge is like, Homer, it's really coming down. Can you check on the boys? And just proper dad-level neglect. He just glances out the window through the thunder and lightning. They're fine.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, the past twice I've sorted my son's meals, right? I mean, you'll laugh at this. I've just totally forgot to give him water. So he's like... So he's having a bite to eat, and then like he's like crying in his high chair. I'm like, oh, what's wrong with you? What do you need? What's wrong? Like he's like reaching for his water that's on the bench that I just totally forgot to give him.
What is such like a basic human need? And you're like, well, what could be wrong?
Who's daddy's special little guy? Yeah, he looked like Voldemort at the end of Harry Potter movies, like when he's underneath that bench. Please, daddy, please.
You. A bit of a fucking radical departure, this, but I can imagine you being, remember on Halls?
Mm-hmm.
That fucking, I know, random, innit?
That is 2003 random,
2003 Disney film where they're all clamming for the water and you've got that fucking camp counsellor who just fucking necks the full...
Yes, I can remember that, actually.
Water in front of them. That'll be you, well, fucking your poor Ben has his tea.
I tell you what's mad about that movie, sort of when the water truck comes down, how much does it make you want some water?
Yeah, I feel like I've been there with him the whole time, mate. You
100%, 100%. Good movie. Doesn't he end up getting sentenced to dig holes for 60 days because he pinched a pair of trainers?
there's a lot of like, let's just say questionable issues in that film, I think.
Like, 60 days for your first offence. Oh, right.
Literally, you go, you build, you dig holes in the searing heat for like 10 hours a day, and you go to bed, you get up the next day and do it again. And that was okay in the American judicial system. They didn't say a problem with that.
They encourage like that type of treatment for 13-year-olds. No issue.
And then there's a debate where I'm sure like two of them escape and they're just like, let them go. The lizards will get them.
because they're 194 miles from any civilization. The children, you've got a duty of care. You need to go and get them.
Let them go. Like, what's going to happen, though? Because surely that sentence, that prison sentence, if you call it that, is going to end. Like, how are they going to explain where the kids have gone? Because they'll be like, right, okay, so we dropped a busload of 50 kids off, and there's now 6 of them. What's happened?
It's like Jeepers Creepers, isn't it? Just a busload of children, a busload of kids just being picked off.
God. Anyway, we've gone off the boiler pit there.
Not like us.
No, back to the Simpsons. Bart and Milhouse are fighting.
Milhouse. trespassers will be tied up with piano wire.
Bart and Milhouse fighting eventually leads to Milhouse falling out of the treehouse door. Hanging on to him for dear life, Bart must make a choice between saving his friend and saving the comic book, which is also in danger of blowing away. I love how at this point, Martin's just like, you know, if you hadn't tied me up, I could be saving the comic book as we speak. Bart, shut up.
well reasoned there, Martin. Actually, I thought that myself. I mean,
good point.
Because what I didn't get was, like, Martin was just going to go to the loo, right? It's as if he had the comic book in his hand. It was there. He don't need to tidy him up. He was just like, he wasn't going to do anything.
Well, that's it. Like, but I think that's what's funny about it. It's the ridiculous paranoia that where Bart, like that bit that we heard where he's about to fuck, where Bart thinks that they're going to like brick him in his sleep to get the comic book.
Brick him. I like how that's the Bud Ball's death sentence. Get bricked.
Bart is finally able to pull Milhouse to safety, but the comic book blows into the storm and is destroyed by Santa's little helper. I mean, that obedience training didn't last very long, did it? I mean,
No. I mean, that Thatcher wannabe, she hasn't earned that money, but, you know, the history repeats itself, doesn't it?
Yeah, hey, just like the real Thatcher.
So, you know.
And so the episode ends with the comic book being destroyed and the three boys learning a valuable lesson because they couldn't share. I love how even the show, though, even though that is clearly the moral of the episode, the show tries to ignore it, where Bart's like, we lost the comic book because we couldn't share. What's your point? Nothing. Just kind of taking it off is all.
Yeah. I mean, I tell you what would get me if I was in Bart's shoes, $100, like $100 just thrown away effectively.
Yeah, that is that. Like, even now, that's a lot of money. I mean, that's like a quarter of a good quality leather jacket.
Yeah, exactly. And you know what? I'm sitting with the laptop now. I'm going to Google $100 in 1992 value today.
I don't think it'll be that different, to be fair.
The 2.57 inflation rate means $100 in 1992 is equivalent to $219.38 today.
Ew, well, God.
So, $219.32 in dollars to pounds. That is...
A lot of effort going into this equation.
$219 to pounds. Let's just do that. £180 sterling.
Right, so basically, Dan, what you've told us all there, right, is that the comic book is worth £80 more than it was in 1992, or roundabout. Yes. Right, okay. That was very worth my time. Yeah. Thank you very, very much.
I've taken a lot of your time for that. And whilst I have the internet open, why XL bullies aren't even dangerous? Right. Banning XL bullies isn't the answer. These are big, powerful dogs. And that means they can cause serious injury. They haven't started the Sarlacc off well.
No, they haven't really, fighting around.
Hang on. But they aren't inherently aggressive, though they can be very aggressive.
Basically, they might not kill you, but they might. That's basically what that article
is. Then it goes to say, one of the total 10 fatal dog attacks in the UK last year, more than half were of XL bully. Why am I laughing? I shouldn't laugh. But it's like, it does nothing for the cause.
Yeah, it's forgotten what it's trying to do, that article, hasn't it?
So really? Stupid, honestly, stupid.
But hey, what were your thoughts at the end of the episode?
Oh, yeah, no complaints whatsoever. Iconic in its sort of, in what the episode's about. Everybody remembers it in sort of the screen grabs from it, like you say, where Homer's sitting in Maggie's room watching the telly and sort of, yeah, they're fine. Like those sort of little sort of Simpsons niches, like, it's just classic, isn't it?
Yeah, and like you said, I wasn't aware of the amount of, I knew comic book guy's first appearance, but Radioactive Man, Mrs. Glick, like, yeah, mm-hmm. So many good introductions to characters. We're really starting to see them fleshed out now.
Get fucked. I'm yeah, so no, enjoyed it. I suppose, I mean, I'll be honest, listeners, me and Ann sort of, we record a little bit early tonight because England play Italy tonight and we want to watch it. So
Dan has a thing where he really likes to watch, like, the players getting off the fucking bus and that. Mm-hmm. Like, he really mm-hmm. enjoys that side of the game.
Yeah, I'd tell you. To be honest, as soon as the referee blows the whistle for the kickoff, I just leave. No, not bothered. I'm all about the glamour, you see.
Yeah, he's a big fan of national anthems. That's
damn. Oh, I am kind of a big fan of national anthems, actually.
I'll tell you what, the Italy one's an absolute banger. I can't wait.
There's a belter, actually. Oh, you're getting us all excited. Come on.
Saying that, like, it's that much of a banger. I remember, this is how interesting my life is, I remember I watched a documentary called World War II in Colour, right?
It's really good, actually.
It's on Netflix, right? This is why we're friends, I can tell you things. Mm-hmm. So it's that, and it starts off, and it's about six episodes altogether. It starts off like how the war started and stuff, and it like shows you all the little things that came into play at the start of the Second World War. And obviously it does a bit on like Italy and like Mussolini, right? And it basically gives you this whole introduction to how like Mussolini was obviously this big fascist, but he did a lot of like domestic stuff for Italy and like got mm-hmm. everyone on side. And it gives you like this montage of like him improving like standards in Italy to like the tune of the Italian national anthem. And honestly, Dan, it's one of the most fucking awe-inspiring pieces of media I've ever heard. I would have voted for him tomorrow on the back of watching that. I was like, hey.
Now you're a fascist.
I am bald and I wear a lot of black, so yeah.
And you're like Paolo Di Canio.
Yeah, me and Paolo are like that.
So, very good, very good. On that note, listeners, do join us again next week, where we will be reviewing the finale of season two, if you can, Adam and Eve. It got to the end of two seasons, and but we'll save all the jubilation for next week. Do you know what the episode is?
Blood Feud, is it?
Correct. Yeah, correct. Yes. Where Mr. Burns buys the big old ugly head for The Simpsons. But we'll get into that. In the meantime, you can contact the show at podpalspodcasts@gmail.com. Follow us on Twitter, Facebook at podpalspodcasts, Instagram as well. And we're on Buy Me a Coffee if you want to chuck the podcast a few quid to help pay for the costs. We don't really care. We spend the money on drugs, as I keep saying. Please stop sending us cash because you're funding the problem. In the meantime, if we don't see you for a week, we'll see you through the window. And that's not a Keith Lemon takeoff. That means when you're in the kitchen and it's pitch black and you turn on the light, I dare you look at the window because I'll be there.
You're watching.
My nose pressed against the glass and my owl fella in hand. Do you remember last week when I said I want to run my hands up the nape of your neck, listeners?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I mean, you can see yourself out that I'm off to go and buy some penny whistles and moon pies. So I suppose I will see you all next week.
That sounds good. I am going to wank off the shopkeeper. See you all next week.
Do you reckon we can leave that in about the shopkeeper?
We Play it by ear. I mean,
dead now anyway, so he can't go to prison.